It's very good to be here, and given that we have yet some things to do this morning, I'd like to really get into some thoughts about the gift and the power of memory. And we're doing a little bit of that here, a little reminiscing, and over the course of the weekend, I've had a chance, Sue and I together, with Kevin and Dudley, to drive around and look at some of the historic landmarks. And we passed by some of your houses, and you didn't know it, but we didn't stop and peep in the windows or anything. We just kind of saluted as we drove by. And we were spending time just remembering and recalling. I don't think I need this. For instance, it was in this very building, like 25 plus years ago, when it was just a concrete slab and the steel girders did not have the paint on them, they were just raw metal, and we would gather here in the early morning hours, and some of you are present today who were part of those gatherings, and we would walk and pray and worship, and we'd place our hands upon these girders and ask for God's blessing and favor with a view towards this building and this property being a platform from which this church could do ministry in the community and have an impact and an influence here. And there were twists and turns and diverse things that happened in those days as we prayed and we worshiped, and some things did not go as I thought they might. And 25 years later, here we are. In some ways, I'm glad that I'm here to be part of looking forward with you to what is coming in a few weeks and not just celebrating it after the fact. And one of the things that has marked this whole journey and this move towards the closing on this building has been an absence of pressure and arm-wringing and a lot of hype surrounding it. And it's like your people are willing in the day of your power. I mean, something happens where there's a desire on the part of God's people to be part of seeing His work go forward and His purpose realized. And Kevin, I know the right hand is not supposed to left know what the left hand is doing, but I really this morning feel like I want to be part of this next 2 weeks, and I'd like to contribute $1,000 towards this remaining portion, and I trust that something's going to bubble up in the hearts of others as well, because my heart is full of gratitude this morning, and I'd like to add an additional donation to helping these next 2 weeks come to pass, and I believe they will. It's an expression of my confidence and a token of my faith that the Lord is going to he's not going to come short. Scripture is full of remembering. It is about remembering. The children of Israel would look back and they would remember God's covenant with Adam, the Adamic covenant, and the foreshadowing of the coming of Christ when an animal had to be sacrificed in order to provide coverings for Adam and Eve. So the earliest covenant, the Adamic covenant, is a foreshadowing of the new covenant in and fulfilled through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's reflections on Noah and God's covenant promises to Noah. And so we had the Noahic covenant, which is a more advanced covenant than the Adamic covenant. And then we had the Mosaic covenant, and then the Abrahamic covenant came next. And from Abraham came Isaac and Jacob, and the forwarding of God's covenant relationship with His people, and the establishing of the Abrahamic covenant with the sign of the covenant being circumcision, which was the establishment on earth of a statement that the future and fruitfulness and prosperity had to do with God's faithfulness and not man's ability to generate his own success and his own future. And then we see the Mosaic covenant established on Mount Sinai with great promises and the riches of the Ten Commandments, which are so full of God's wisdom. And then the Davidic covenant and God's promise to David that he would always have one to sit on his throne, that it was from his lineage that the Messiah would come. And then we see this ultimately fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ and the establishment of the new covenant, this fifth and more complete and perfect covenant. And so much of what we read about in Scripture has to do with thinking about and calling to mind the significance of those things. So remembering is a very real part of biblical faith and the great redemptive story. And there's things about remembering in God's economy that are they're difficult for me to place. I'm reflecting on a statement made by Ern Baxter in the 70s, in the mid-70s, and if you would listen as I read, the Bible tries to tell us in simple language of the ultimacy of God. There is none before Him. There is none beside Him. He takes orders from none. He was created by none. He is life, self-existent. There is nothing in Him that should be out of Him, nothing out of Him that should be in Him. He remembers nothing because He's forgotten nothing. He learns nothing because there's nothing He does not know. He does not need to know because He holds all truth simultaneously. He is the God of the eternal now. He can look at human history from the beginning or the end or the middle, for all things are known to Him. God is the King of the cosmos. He sits outside of it in powerful authority, yet He is involved in it in incarnate humility. He is the cosmic King. He is the nature of our God, that within the mystery of the plurality of His own person, there is order, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Or as the old Puritan divine once said, God in Himself is a sweet society. So when I think about remembering and calling to mind, I know that that has its origins in a God who created us with that faculty and with that capacity, but He Himself has no need to remember anything. So what does it mean for God to remember? I have no idea. I don't get it. I do know that I forget. God does not. Except one thing. My wickedness and my sins. I don't get it, but the God who does not need to remember because He knows everything, including those things about me which fall short of His purpose and plan, and He chooses to eliminate that from what He knows. That's pretty phenomenal, isn't it? That the God who knows everything could call to mind those things which represent my falling short, but elects in His sovereignty not to. One declaration I would like to make to you this morning: why don't you forget about what God has forgotten? Did you hear me? You can forget about what God has forgotten because of what Jesus has done for you and what He's done for me. Now, the enemy of my soul has not forgotten, and he is ready on the spot to remind me. of where I fall short. I look at myself in the mirror every day. And I can tell you the things that disqualify me and cause me to say, why does God bother? And then I read about the fact that because I've put my confidence in the finished work of Jesus Christ, that he has elected in his sovereignty to forget about those things as if they don't exist. And then something starts feeling pretty good. God doesn't need to remember because he knows everything, but I need to remember because I forget. Let me read something to you from 2 Peter. I got to give you some Bible verses, so after I leave, you can say, yes, he did refer to Scripture. Because actually what I'm saying to you is all biblical. It's rooted in the Scripture, grounded in the Scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. So, I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. In other words, I'm going to remind you of things that you already know and things in which you are already established, but I'm going to remind you. And one version reads, I will stir you up by way of reminder. What does this one say? That's what I'm reading, I guess. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside as our Lord Jesus Christ has made it clear to me, and I will make every effort. That's pretty intentional, isn't it? Pretty intense. I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. So Peter's saying, even after I'm gone, it's important that you remember these things. What is it about remembering? What is it that remembering accomplishes and does that is so important in the mind of Peter? Why it is important to remember? On an aside, I can't go through this morning without remembering John. I know you celebrated his life last weekend at a memorial service. Sue and I were not able to be there. But John was here from the beginning. You were. And there's something about remembering that doesn't leave life coming to closure. A memorial service, but is carried forward as heritage with memory that stirs you and provokes gratitude for a life well lived. And so we continue to pray for God's comfort and his peace, and we add our fond reflections of John's life, what he's meant to us, to the many that have already been expressed. He's part of the memory. There was a time when I encouraged leaders, look, don't talk about your little personal things and your little ditties, because it leaves people who have not been part of those events and those circumstances feeling like outsiders looking on. And so it communicates to people who've not been part of those experiences that they weren't there, they weren't a part, and so therefore they're outsiders. I've come to some revision of thought about that, or maybe some additions to my thinking. Let us tell the stories. Let's recall the memories. Let's celebrate the goodness of God and let people know who weren't there, this is your story too, and to step into it. It belongs to them. You hear what I'm saying? Celebrating what God has done, reflecting and rejoicing and calling to mind the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living and with the people who've been part of the journey, and celebrating that and talking about it is not only a good thing, it is a testimony, and it's something that we need to invite others to come into and say, this belongs to you as well. And so when someone is getting up and talking about something anecdotal or something that happened or this person or praying for pilings, and it is important for people who did not know that to know that and to recognize that they are beneficiaries of it. There's something about remembering. I would like to share a thought with you that I need the Holy Spirit to help us with. And I'm doing so with the thought that we are about to come to the Lord's table. And that is a word, if I may use a Greek word without sounding pretentious. It's the word anamnesis. And it is the word that is used for memory. When Jesus said, do this for the remembrance of me. We think of memory, I believe, in more cases than not, as a passive reflection on something that occurred at another time. I remember. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm pointing us to something that is the substance of this word used here that I've just referred to, anamnesis. Do this for the anamnesis of me. What it is saying is that remember in such a way that the effectiveness of what took place then is brought into this moment now. In a way for me that defies explanation. There is something about breaking the bread and sharing the cup, and I'm going to read the words of institution, which will probably be read again. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. What does that mean? I can only tell you what it says. This is my body, which is for you. What? Do this. And I believe the original language has more than in remembrance of me, as if in passive reflection. but for the remembrance of me in a manner and in a fashion that brings it forward into this present moment. That is the kind of remembering, the kind of remembrance that is going on. After supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it for the remembrance of me." That when you recall, when you focus on this meal, when you break the bread and when you share the cup, do this for the remembrance of me in a way that defines description and definition and explanation. There is something about the redemptive sacrificial work of our Lord Jesus Christ for our sake is brought current and present in the moment as we eat and drink together. It's just not a passing memory of something that happened a long time ago. It's remembering in such a way that it brings this in a reality of it into this moment that we share here. You're either really thinking about what I'm saying, wondering about what I'm saying, but nobody's saying amen. That is why, personally, I believe we see miracles that take place at the Lord's table. It's why I believe that we see healings at the Lord's table. Can I explain that to you? I cannot. I quickly retreat from saying this is why this happens. All I know is when we come and we're feeding on our Lord Jesus Christ and his life given for us by faith in our hearts, that there is something of the Lord in the meal and as we fulfill what he commanded us to do that has effective meaning and impact. It defies explanation. It's the mystery of God's presence in the meal which he instituted and gave to us. It has to do with remembering in a way that brings the reality of that provision forward into the moment in which we're living. Let us exercise remembrance of what God has done for us in his provision in the lives of those that he has joined us to journey together, in the way he has met us along the way. As some of us were sitting around a table the other night and telling stories, I found my life being enriched by hearing things that I did not know and laughing with them as they told their story and as they remembered and as they were recalling how the Lord had met with them, and they were sharing that and participating. It was like breaking bread and sharing something with me that made my life rich as we remembered together. And I believe that there's a place for celebrating the memories. Thanks for the memories. There's more theological substance in that than what we recognize. Our lives are made rich by celebrating the memories. And no greater reality of that is when we come as we will from our very diverse backgrounds and our varying conditions in this life. We come to the table, we come to the bread, we come to the wine, and we do this for the remembrance of him in a way that brings forth the reality of what took place 2,000 years ago into this present moment, and we together corporately celebrate that, and here, recalibrate to the main thing, being the main thing. It's a great privilege that we have whenever we come to this table. We all refocus, we all recalibrate, we all remember in such a way that brings it into this moment so that we can go forth from here, empowered by the Holy Spirit, living an amended life to the glory of His name and the extension of His kingdom. That is about to take place. Kevin, as the senior pastor who has served this congregation, it was back in 1988 when I asked Kevin to assume responsibility, and you have been blessed to have a faithful shepherd of a flock for lo these 25 years? 26. And counting. And I know you love him, and I know you appreciate him. And Kevin, if you would come and lead us as we remember, as we do this for the remembrance of him, may the Holy Spirit enable us now to truly enter into what took place then as if it is in fact present right now.